When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are back right here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and of course, powered by the Potawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Special guest today at 10:20, John Ryan, former Packers punter, former Seahawks punter. So a great guest today to talk Packers-Seahawks. Looking forward to that again at 10:20 today. But right now, we are chatting with my good friend Eli Berkovitz of the Pack-A-Day podcast, as well as a writer for PackerReport.com. You can find him on Twitter at BookofEli_NFL. Eli, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Andy. Looking forward to talking some Packers football. Appreciate the invite onto the show. And also, in general, just congratulations. Very exciting to see you getting on the radio. I'm sure Packers Nation is very thankful for that.
I appreciate that, Eli. I'm grateful to be able to chat with you, and I'm grateful for all the things that you have done for the podcast over all the years that you have been doing it. So thank you to you as well. And just awesome to see you continue to grow and get more and more opportunities. So let's talk about this Packers team, though, as we kind of jump into Packers Seahawks and look at where Green Bay stands right now. I want to start with kind of the good news, the injury report that we got from yesterday. Of course, Javon Bullard is the only Packer that did not practice. Luke Musgrave returned. Jair Alexander practiced in full. It sounds like we got a good news update from Matt LaFleur and Romeo Doubs that he is trending in the right direction to play this upcoming weekend. Edgerrin Cooper practice. Like, what to you was the biggest takeaway from the injury report, and what maybe has the opportunity to be the biggest impactful return here for Green Bay?
I mean, it's kind of close for me between Jair and Edgerrin Cooper, but I think we just got to go Jair. I mean, looking at not just this matchup, but looking at this week, you know, you got DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, even Tyler Lockett, who might be a bit older, but still definitely pretty effective. And just in general, you know, going forward, I think we all know that the Packers defense, it desperately needs Jair Alexander out there. Right now, there's enough questions about cornerback two without having to worry about who's going to be out there at cornerback one. So getting Jair back, being able to put him up against opposing team's number one wide receiver and kind of feeling good about that matchup, and then only having to really worry about one of Valentine or Stokes or maybe Nixon on the outside, I think it really makes a huge difference for the defense. So I'm really hoping to see Jair back and just staying healthy through the remainder of the season and the playoffs.
I'm with you. I think Jair is such a huge domino when he's not out there. It just feels like Jeff Hafley isn't quite as comfortable calling a little bit more man coverage because he's not out there. It feels like he's not quite as comfortable maybe dropping the safety in the box as much as he would like, which opens up that middle of the field, which of course does not give you your best corner against the opposing team's opposing wide receiver in some of those situations. It's just this huge domino effect, and it affects every area of the defense. And I just think it doesn't give Jeff Hafley as many options. And we've seen when Jair is healthy that he's a defensive coordinator that really likes to have have a variety within his defense. And I just think it's been a little bit more watered down because he hasn't had that guy out there. So I'm with you. I think Jair is 1A there. I know you talked about this, Eli, and we're writing about it, I believe, for Packer Report, if I remember correctly. Yeah, which Packer to you, or maybe you just posted on Twitter, I forget. Either way, which Packer to you can take the Packers from a playoff team to a Super Bowl team? If I remember correctly, you posted three different Packers that out there that you think maybe with some improved play could take this from a good to solid playoff team to a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, so the way I see it right now, the Packers, for me, the pass rush is kind of like the key. I think we saw early in the year when we were bringing consistent pressure, especially on third downs, and getting, whether it was sacks or at the very least getting pressured, that was forcing incompletions. And as we all saw beginning of the year, a lot of interceptions. The interceptions haven't completely gone away, but they've definitely slowed down a lot. And I think that is stemming from a lack of pass rush. So Rashawn Gary was the number one name on that list. It seems pretty obvious. He actually has been over the past month or so since Preston Smith's trade to the Steelers. He has been playing a lot better, forcing some more pressures, getting a few more sacks. So that's really nice to see. I still think there's that next level that we all kind of wanted to see from Rashawn Gary that we haven't quite seen yet. But if he can tap into some of that down the stretch here, I think it would be massive for the defense. And then the other two names were Christian Watson and Carrington Valentine. Watson, I think we've seen over the last few weeks, when we get him going, get him making explosive plays, this offense just becomes so much more difficult to stop. It's almost like we used to talk all the time about MVS, you know, when he would open up the field for Devontae or for Lazard or Tonyan, just having that deep threat. And I think Watson's obviously better than MVS, but kind of a similar vein and why I think he's so important. And then Valentine, of course, as we just talked about, Jair, the Packers secondary, just we need that second corner. It doesn't have to be a lockdown guy, but he can't be a complete liability. And I think we saw enough out of Valentine as a rookie to believe that there's something there that they can develop. And I'm honestly pretty shocked that this year they've been so, like, reticent, I guess, to just put him out there at cornerback too and let him take all the snaps. I hope eventually they do that, because I think there's at least something to see there. And I think, unfortunately, for some of the other outside corners they've been trying, I think we kind of know what the deal is there going forward.
Yeah, I know everyone has a little bit of a different love language, but my love language is people asking for Carrington Valentine to play over Eric Stokes. You are speaking my language, Eli Berkovitz, and that is something I've gone over ad nauseum here on the show. I want to talk about a player that has made that jump, who has made a big impact, who has seen quite a bit of improvement in this 2024 season, and that is Tucker Kraft. He has not only been a big-time player for Green Bay, but he also seems like one of those players that's just a energizer for the remainder of the team. I thought, you know, the kip-up got a lot of play. Shawn Michaels retweeted it and said he gave it 10 out of 10 broken heart emojis. If you're not familiar, he's the heartbreak kid, of course. But it's just, he's kind of that player that brings that intensity, that energy, that physicality. It feels like this was maybe a missing ingredient for the offense, and he's really kind of unlocked that within this offense. What have you seen about this breakout from Tucker Kraft?
Yeah, I think Tucker Kraft is literally, I mean, the most needed and like crucial piece to this Packers team, because I think we all know, for years and years and years, especially during the McCarthy era, but even into LaFleur, I feel like the Packers were always kind of labeled as this kind of soft team, more of like a finesse, not like bruising in your face kind of style. And I think a combination of, you know, Jeff Hafley's defense, but really Tucker Kraft offensively, and Josh Jacobs a bit, but Kraft, just that physicality he brings, and just that, we like to say it as a joke, but kind of that psycho mentality of like, I'm going to run you over, I'm going to trash talk you, I'm going to, you know, get in your face. And as long as you're doing that within the confines of the rules, I'm all about it. And the Packers need some of that. I think every team needs a little bit of crazy on their team. And Kraft is both crazy, but he's also clearly very good at football. I mean, week after week, whether he's catching touchdowns or making great plays with the ball in his hands, you don't see a lot of tight ends doing what he does after the catch. And that, to me, is probably the most exciting part of his game. The fact that he can catch a ball, turn upfield, stiff arm a guy, hurdle a guy, run over a guy. That's just something we have not seen from a Packers tight end in, I don't even know, since Jermichael Finley, I guess, at the best. So Tucker Kraft is, I mean, he's just awesome, and I'm really excited. I'm also excited to see Musgrave back. I want to see them get that duo going. But look, if Kraft just ends up being our guy, I have absolutely no issue with that. I think he's a stud.
Yeah, when we get to draft season, we all talk about the athletic scores, their relative athletic scores, and how important they are to what Green Bay does with drafting players, and they love their high-end athletes. Listen, if you're scouting tight ends and you don't have a relative crazy score that you're going to, like, the best tight ends have a little bit of that crazy to them, whether it's a Travis Kelce, whether it's a George Kittle, whether it's a Rob Gronkowski. Like, there's something that you have to be a little bit, I think, crazy to play that position, and he has the exact right amount of crazy in all the best ways. I say this complimentary, of course, and he's just been a perfect fit within this offense, and it's an ingredient that they needed, and it's an ingredient that he is bringing to the table. We're being joined again by Eli Berkovitz, Packaday podcast, writer for Packer Report. You can find him on social media at @BookofEli_NFL. All right, Eli, I want to talk some quarterback play with you. I know you love watching quarterbacks. I know you were a big Aaron Rodgers guy, of course, a big Jordan Love guy as well, so I want to ask you about both of these players. Let's start with Jordan Love. How do you view his performance so far in 2024, and is he starting to peak at the right time?
Yeah, I think Jordan Love might have some of this, I don't know if it's a clutch gene or something, but we're now seeing 2 years in a row where it seems like he really, really picks up his game as we get down the stretch and head into the playoffs, and that's obviously, you know, kind of the best thing you want. I think maybe seeing the Packers win the Super Bowl in 2010 the way they did has always kind of led me to believe that the regular season is obviously important, but the most important thing is who gets hot right before the playoffs, who gets hot going in to the playoffs. We saw last year the Packers were very close to taking down the number one seed in the NFC, and a lot of people's opinions they probably should have. And Jordan Love has just been playing, I mean, clean football. Let's start there. I mean, zero interceptions in his last three games is probably the biggest thing we could be looking for, considering the way the year started. Five touchdowns, zero picks, a solid completion percentage. I mean, he's just been both elevating his game, but clearly elevating the players around him. Romeo Doubs has missed the last couple games, and Love hasn't really missed that much of a beat. And the crazy thing is they're barely even getting Jaden Reed involved. You know, he's been getting Watson involved, he's getting Kraft involved. Wicks has made a couple of nice plays over the last few weeks. So I think Love just right now is super comfortable in this offense. Love spreading the ball around, and that obviously makes it very difficult for a defense, having no idea where to focus on a down-to-down basis.
Yeah, I think so too. I love the way that he's playing right now. To me, really only one, you know, poor decision over the course of the last 4 weeks coming off the bye week, and that you just love to see the better decision making. I think he's making some big time throws, the big time throw to Christian Watson and Tucker Kraft, and another big time throw to Christian Watson this past week. So he's making the big throws, he's avoiding the silly throws, the poor decisions, and we're just seeing a overall complete performance from Jordan Love over the course of really the last 3-4 weeks coming off the bye. As I mentioned, I know you're a big Aaron Rodgers guy as well, so I'd be remiss not to ask you your thoughts on what he's been doing for the Jets in 2024 and where the Aaron Rodgers saga kind of goes from here.
Yeah, you know, usually talking Aaron Rodgers, always a pretty good time. Right now, it's tough. You know, obviously the Jets season has not gone the way they planned. I think a lot has gone into it. I think obviously Aaron Rodgers has not played up to the level that he expects from himself. I also don't think the fact that the Jets went from like the best defense in the league to one of the worst has helped. But overall, I think it's clear that, you know, Rodgers has played better than he currently is. And I would, as just a fan of his, if I'm being honest, I would like to just see him retire. And as much as I love to see him play, it hurts too much to see him lose. And I'm afraid that the Jets just aren't going to turn it around. And I don't think there's any team in the NFL he could go to right now that's going to be some great situation that he can win in. And of course, if it's ever against the Packers, obviously I want the Packers to win. That's never a question. But in the AFC, I'm not too concerned about who's getting wins on a week-to-week basis. But overall, I don't think he's like completely washed. I mean, I don't know if you saw Jay Glazer's report this weekend, but he's been playing through a bit of a hamstring tear, an MCL sprain, a high ankle sprain. And we don't want to use that as excuses, but it obviously doesn't help when you're that age dealing with all those injuries. So, no, but just knowing him, I don't think he's going to retire. I think he's a bit too stubborn to go out like this, and I think he'll try to come back next year and have a better season. Again, I think he can do that if he's in a really, really great situation, and unfortunately the Jets just are not that, and I don't know if there's any other team that can offer that to him right now. So, overall, obviously a pretty disappointing season. But looking forward to, you know, his one-day retirement back with the Packers whenever that happens.
All right. Eli, you still there?
Yeah, sorry.
All right. No, all good. I think we lost Andy for a second there. All right.
Uh-oh.
Last thing here, Eli. This is producer Tommy. I'll talk to you for a second as we get down to the rest of the break here. What is your final prediction here for Seattle on Sunday? What do you think that Green Bay is going to prove to everyone? Do you think that this game is going to be a measuring stick game? Because that has been a gripe for Green Bay now, that they have not been able to beat teams that people are considering are teams that are better than them. And I don't think that Seattle is probably better than them, but it's going to be a team that's leading their division and has been very good all year long.
Yeah. Seattle, I mean, no matter what, I really, like, when you're playing in Seattle, I don't really even care what their record is. It's a very, very tough place to play, especially in prime time. And the Seahawks, again, you know, they're not having the best season ever, but they're in playoff contention. I believe they're leading the NFC West right now. So obviously this is a very big game for them. And I expect it to be a bit of a shootout, you know, kind of a brawl. Like, I think it goes back and forth. I think the Packers should control the game. I think they're definitely the better team. But the Seahawks are certainly not any kind of pushover. And I believe that we're going to see it come down pretty much to the wire. I think it'll definitely be a pretty close game. But I think the Packers do pull it out at the end. And I'm going to go 31-24 Packers. I just think both teams will be able to put up some points. But the Seahawks have struggled a lot in the red zone getting touchdowns. And they've also been very bad against the run, and I think that obviously will do very well for Josh Jacobs. So I think the Packers should win this game, but they need to come in prepared for a battle because it is never easy going into Seattle.
Absolutely. Eli, go ahead, plug your stuff here. Where can we find you? Where can other fans of The Fan take a look in and find out what Eli Berkovitz is working on?
Yeah, so you can always find all of my work over on Twitter at bookofeli_NFL. My writing specifically over at PackReport.com. I actually have my weekly piece, which is matchups to exploit. So just some key areas I think the Packers can take advantage of the Seahawks. That's going to drop on Packer Report a little later this morning around 9 a.m. Lambeau time. So you could keep an eye out for that. But again, you can always head over to my Twitter, bookofeli_NFL, and you'll find everything there as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eli, for joining the show today. We'll have to get you back on here with Andy Herman at some point today. If you guys miss anything that you guys want to go back and listen to, like this interview with Eli, make sure you check it out on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we're going to try to reconnect here with Andy Herman and close out the Pack-A-Day Radio. You've been listening to Pack-A-Day Radio at 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.